This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. And our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. So give us a call, send us an email, either one, and you can get in touch with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Right now, the first game is going on in the Big Ten tournament. And if you hadn't heard the score right now, Iowa is up on Illinois, 60-56 with a couple of minutes left. And our producer, Aaron Young, will give us an update, especially when it goes final and maybe even before then. But you can give us a call right now and talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. But we also need you to spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR in East Lansing. We love coming your way, bringing you the sports talk and information each and every day. Well, we're going to talk first out talking with our friend Jack Ebling, and we're going to talk about, he's got a new book out. So we'll let Jack bring us up to date, tell us about his new book. And Jack, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what do you know, Earl?
Hey, I'm waiting to hear about your new book. I know we talked briefly, but I didn't get much detail. So we want to give the people some details about the new book.
Yeah, actually, I have two books coming out next month. And I don't think I've ever tried to do anything that crazy before. But I have a baseball book that will be out before opening day. And that's the Tales from Detroit Tigers Dugout. Looking forward to that. And it's funny, the day that it had to go to the printer was the day that the Tigers acquired Prince Fielder. So we had some last-minute revisions for that book. And then we've been working for a couple of years on Heart of a Spartan, and that's the story of Michigan State's football renaissance, and that will be out before the spring game. So if you are a baseball fan or you're a Michigan State football fan, we've got some interesting reading ahead for you.
So you've been quite busy here lately.
Trying to stay out of jail. Trying to stay up with you.
Well, good luck on that one. You might have to join me in jail there. But, no, this is great that you've got two books out. And the Tiger book, you know, I know a lot of that, the material is from last year, right? And
right.
Prince Fielder, that's been a great addition for the Tigers.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what happens with Miguel Cabrera trying to play third base and how they're going to make it all work out. But I wouldn't want to try to face the Tigers lineup. The middle of that lineup is pretty fearsome.
Yes, that's for sure. Well, they're 5-0 right now in spring training, so they're off to a good start.
Yeah, I'm still not sure they have a leadoff hitter, and there are a lot of questions about a fifth starter, but there are no perfect baseball teams.
No.
And over the course of a long haul, I think it tends to even itself out. So it's a lot of excitement, people looking forward to baseball, I think, as much as they have been for Tiger fans in quite a while. And, of course, Michigan State football on the uptick. You see the results in terms of ticket sales. Could be a record number of season tickets sold. A lot of people very excited about what the 2012 Spartans are going to look like without Kirk Cousins and some of the other players that we've become so familiar with. And I think if Andrew Maxwell can do the job with this defense, it's going to be very exciting. But this book goes back through basically the last two seasons. And it also sets up with how those seasons came to be. We talked to 33 former greats, All-Americans and captains at Michigan State, to really paint a picture of what Michigan State is all about. And that helps explain what happened after the 2009 season and how Mark D'Antonio was the perfect guy for this job and what happened over the last 2 years, unprecedented success for the Spartans.
Yes, that's for sure. I mean, that 11-win season, as we know, last year, the best in Spartan history, that's really propelled the Spartans into, you know, at least considering to be one of the upper echelon teams in the Big Ten right now.
Yeah, I would think so, Earl. You know, you figure they have Le'Veon Bell back. They have some starters on the offensive line, four of them back. And that was a group that I think got better as the year went on. Certainly the defense with William Golston and the linebacking core with Max Bulla, the secondary could be the best in the Big Ten. They have specialists back. So if Maxwell can come through, I think Michigan State has found its personality as a football team, and we'll have to see if the replacements can come in. There isn't much of a fall off, but some of the other guys are getting better, and I think Santonio's recruiting classes have been understated, but now I think they're really starting to pay dividends. They redshirted every scholarship player last year except one. So, you know, those guys, it's not like they haven't been around. It's just that they haven't been on the field, and they've had a year to get ready. But if anyone is interested in the baseball book, I think you'll be able to find it on the newsstands, and we'll have some signings as baseball season develops. And the football book, there's a website created for that. You can go to heartofaspartanbook.com, heartofaspartanbook.com, and you can pre-order one of the early copies. We're happy to inscribe it for gifts, for graduations, for Mother's Day, Father's Day, and it's got some shelf life. It's got 150 of the best photos you'll find anywhere, and I think it's going to make a very good Christmas gift as well.
Well, now, do you have a basketball book in the offing? I mean, you've had those two, so you might as well do a basketball book.
Well, yeah, we've done three basketball books, so that's a good point. We'll have to see what happens here at the Big Ten tournament. Looks like Michigan State might wind up playing Iowa tomorrow.
Yes.
And then we'll see what happens after that. But the loss of Brandon Dawson, you really had to feel sorry for him the other day.
Yes, yes, you do.
Anytime a player gets injured, it really puts a damper on what was not the best day for Michigan State anyway.
Yes, I mean, he's a very good player, and he was coming on, and that's the key. He was coming on, he was getting better and better, and to lose him at this time, it does hurt the Spartans because he's becoming an integral part of the basketball team. So you hate to see a guy get hurt at all, for sure, but he'd become such an integral part of the team, that's really going to hurt Michigan State.
Yeah, and then people say, well, you know, how important is the guy anyway? He's only averaging, you know, a little less than 9 points a game. But he's very valuable, and if you look at what Draymond Green did as a freshman, he only averaged 3.3 points per game. So I think Dawson's future was all ahead of him, and probably still is. He's going to have to rehabilitate, and he's going to be out for 6 months, but they hope that since surgery was successful, it looked as if there wasn't a lot of swelling to the knee, and he can make a complete recovery.
Yes, I know. Looking at this first game between Iowa and Illinois, I'm very impressed with Iowa, Jack. Iowa's really playing well.
Yeah, exactly. They were down 7 here in the second half, but a lot of offensive rebounds. And where in the first half, Illinois was really moving the basketball. They had 11 assists. Now they seem to be standing around, and they look like the Illinois that we saw toward the end of the year.
Right.
Basketball team that's bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
And, you see the bad Illinois now, and it looks like this is going to be pretty much the end of it for Bruce Weber. And Illinois looks like we'll have a new coach next season.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. I know I work out with a few Illini in the gym, and they're definitely down on Bruce Weber. They're asking me, well, who should we hire? Who should we hire? I said, I don't know who you should hire, but we know they're going to hire someone, it looks like, because Bruce Weber is definitely in trouble. If there is, I guess, a way he might survive. They might give him one more year, you know, but it's hard to believe that they'll give him one more year, even though I think he's got – 1 or 2 years left on his contract.
Yeah, right. Well, the biggest thing he has going for him right now is they just fired the football coach. They just fired the women's basketball coach. They're paying a lot of contracts for coaches who aren't going to be on campus.
Yeah.
And when you start paying two coaches per sport, it really adds up, especially when your football attendance is what Illinois has been. Bruce Weber's really only had – this will be his second season with less than 20 wins, so it's not like he has a long history of mediocrity there. But yeah. The expectations at Illinois were very high. And then sometimes, you know, you create a monster. And he started off with this team that went to the national championship game very early in his career there. And even this year, you know, they beat Ohio State in that tremendous game. They beat Michigan State in a very ugly game. But the fans look at that and they say, okay, now why are we losing all these other games?
Right.
And you start out 15-3. So expectations are up, and then all of a sudden the collapse. And in a couple of games, frankly, they were non-competitive. The game when they were 32 down at Nebraska, that just shouldn't happen.
Right, it shouldn't. But that's sports, and you know, we do see some crazy things at times in sport, and that's one of them. You're right. There's no way you should be behind to Nebraska, which is really the worst team in the league by 32 points.
Well, anytime you lose 12 of your last 14 games, I hope you're renting, because if you're buying property, you got a problem.
That's for sure. Hey, you know, I've been going to a lot of these high school games, and I know there's going to be a big one here in the mid-Michigan area on Friday when we see Lansing Catholic and Lansing Sexton going up against each other, both identical 21-1 records. Matter of fact, we'll have Carlton Valentine on after you. So we'll talk with him about that game. But, you know, there's a lot of good basketball here in the mid-Michigan area. I've been able to watch quite a few games, and it's been very enjoyable watching all the high school basketball.
Yeah, I'm going to be in Indianapolis, of course, for the Big Ten tournament, but I would love to see that Sexton-Lansing-Catholic game. And, you know, I think Sexton is the best team in the state, regardless of class.
Yes.
I think the Big Reds are going to defend and repeat as Class B state champions. But I really like this Lansing Catholic team, and on the right night, who knows?
Exactly. It could be a tough game. I'll be talking with Carlton about that one. It's one of those games, too. I know I'll hate to see either team lose, because both are good teams. Both the coaches are class guys. They both run great programs. So I know I'm gonna have a hard time seeing either team lose.
Yeah, Darren Zwick's done a tremendous job with Lansing Catholic. And, you know, they just do what they can do and do it very, very well. So maybe we shouldn't count Illinois out just yet. I think they just hit a three-pointer to cut it to one with 16 seconds to go. So Iowa's going to have to make some free throws.
Okay. Well, hey, one of one of your publicity agents called in. He says, "Hi, Earl. Please mention to Jack that Don from DeWitt says hello and can't wait for his new book to come out. Hope you're doing great, too."
Don's one of the great sports fans in mid-Michigan. I got to tell you, when I run into him at a DeWitt game, he has got so much energy and passion for these kids. And, of course, we know of his love for Michigan State. So I'll probably be signing a book for Don. And we're going to have a lot of other signings around. But if anyone's interested in checking out what the book is going to be, you can just go to that website. It's heartofaspartanbook.com.
Okay, check it out, and we'll be talking about it more often when it gets out and it gets here, and that one, because you're always working. I have to admit, you do a little work every now and then, so so I guess I have to admit that. Yeah, you're okay, Jack. You put in about 5-10 minutes a day.
Hey, we're leaving for Indianapolis tomorrow morning.
Oh, okay.
Gilbridge and I at 6 a.m., so you'll still be sawing logs.
Yeah, yes, I will be. It's 6 o'clock, no doubt about that.
But I'll give you a wake-up call at 6 if you like.
Oh, you don't have to. That won't be necessary. Hey, Jack, it's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And, you know, we'll be talking more when you get back. I might even call you while you're down there. But
right. I might even catch up to you later tonight.
Okay, we'll talk to you then, Jack.
Take care, buddy.
Okay, bye-bye. And that's Jack Ebling, the editor of Sport Magazine, talking with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Police departments often use maps to pinpoint crimes and focus resources, a common tactic. But when New York police reportedly built a database of Muslim businesses, clients, and mosques, many charged it crossed the line from legitimate police work to domestic spying and racial profiling. I'm John Donvan. Ethnic Mapping, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for tuning in. This is Scott Pohl with the weather. Our high today in the low 50s, a windy day with skies turning partly sunny. A chance of snow tonight with a low of 25. Windy and partly sunny with a high of 35 tomorrow. Saturday's high back up to 46 and it'll be sunny.
And give us a call. Our lines are open. 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, the basketball game is almost over, not quite yet, and we'll bring in Aaron Young, and he'll give us an update on that coming up shortly. But we'll tell you about that. Illinois is trying to Actually, Illinois is trying to get over the top on Iowa. Iowa is trying to hold them off in the matchup of the 8-9 seed in the Big Ten tournament. Very good game. But Aaron, why don't you bring us up to date right quick on the game and how's it going?
Yeah, the score right now is 64-61 Iowa. We have 11 seconds to go. I'm not sure who's in possession. My internet seems to be not working correctly where the actual game thing that ESPN has. But so far, 64-61 Iowa. So looks like Michigan State might be playing Iowa tomorrow.
Okay. The time, 21 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Well, let's bring in our good friend Carlton Valentine from the Lansing Sextons, Big Reds, the coach of that team, the defending state champion. Carlton, how you doing, my man?
Hey, man, I survived my heart attack last night. I'll tell you, man, you were there. You saw what I saw.
Yeah.
Man. It was a heck of a game. You know, you got to give a lot of credit to Rob Port and his staff at Hazard, man. They made it tough on us. And, you know, I thought we responded better in the second half. But, you know, some of that stuff, man, is, you know, our kids, man, it's tough to get ready to play the games, I guess, when those guys have been playing tough competition, man. And, you know, it gets in their head, man. They don't see guys that physically match up with them right away. And so, you know, we always talk about respecting your opponent, man. And, you know, we got to make sure that the kids are really, really doing that, man. You know, it's tough to you tell kids over and over about stuff. Once again, they're teenagers, you know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah, they don't understand it until they actually go through it for the most part. I know you had to read the riot act there at halftime. After that first quarter, which was surprising, I mean, it was tied 10-10 at the end of the first quarter. You probably read the riot act right then.
Well, you know, I didn't, though, because, you know, I was trying to be the voice of calm. I think they were a little distraught about what was going on at the time. They couldn't believe that a team would come out, you know, that hard and challenge them, so... You know, I just tried to be, you know, the voice of calm, the voice of reason at that point. Because when kids get flustered, you know, you got to be calm. If you get flustered, sometimes you can make it even worse. So, you know, I was trying to just calm down, at least until halftime.
Yeah, because they did come. They were playing very aggressive and very hard, and yeah, probably caught them off guard a little bit. But like you say, sometimes you think it's just going to be a game, but they were playing for their life, understanding that you know they're one gasp in the tournament. You know, nobody wants to lose when you get to this point in the tournament. That's understandable, but sometimes kids don't get that fact that the other team, they don't want to lose, they don't want to go out. You know, they're going to come at you as hard as they can.
Right, right. Like you said, Earl, they're playing for their tournament lives, man. And, you know, we took their best shot, man. And luckily, man, we responded in the second half and, you know, played the second Big Red basketball.
Yeah, and that was the key. I mean, the way you did. Now, I got to tell you, I'm going to hate to see either team lose tomorrow night, because you and Darren Zwick both have great programs. Both of you are 21-1 this year. I mean, two really good programs. You both do a good job of coaching, and I'm good friends with you and with Darren as well. So I know I'm going to, that game is going to really test me, because I hate to see either team lose the game, but unfortunately, one of you is going to have to lose.
Yeah, Darren Zwick does a great job over there at Lansing Catholic. He has for a lot of years, and you know, he won a state championship in 2008, you know, with his unit. And you know, I would say Dennis Wick is probably, you know, one of the better coaches in the state, because year in and year out, he gets his teams to compete at a high level regardless of the personnel. So when he has personnel, they're just a little bit better. So, you know, you got to give him a lot of credit for the job he does over there at Lansing Catholic.
Yes, and you're going to have a tough job. I don't think you have to worry about getting the guys up for that game. All they got to do is look at the record, and they've seen Lansing Catholic play before, so they know they're going to be in a tough game.
Yeah, and you know, you don't have to get them up for that game, because they know what's at stake. You know, and it's an elimination game, even though every game's an elimination game.
Yes.
And this game maybe means a little bit more up for those guys, so... You know, I think they'll definitely be ready to go. You know, we'll have a, you know, nice little shoot-around practice, watch some film, and then get out of the gym and get ready for tomorrow.
Yep. Well, let's play this tape because I didn't have a chance to talk with Coach Zwick last night, and this is what he says about having a chance to face you again and face Lansing Sexton in the playoffs.
At this point in the season, you just really have to really fine-tune everything that you have in. You know, you might have to do a special thing or two for that opponent, just depending on how they play. And so that's what we'll do. You know, we'll prepare for that on tomorrow at practice and just make sure that our guys are sharp and ready to go with a lot of energy on Friday.
What do you think you're going to need to do on the defensive end? What, we have to rebound better, you think, or something like that? Or
yeah, you know, I think rebounding is always key. I mean, you can't give teams second-chance opportunities. Really make teams play in the half court and earn their baskets. And to me, that's the key in the state tournament, making teams earn their baskets and then making sure that we're playing together and we're in sync offensively. If we do those two things, I think we'll be okay.
Yes, and that's what he says. So you have an idea. You probably knew that they were going to do something like that anyway, but he said they're going to have to fine-tune everything at this point in the season. You don't really put in a lot of new wrinkles, but you just fine-tune what you're doing. Are you doing the same thing, just fine-tuning what you've always been doing, or are you throwing a couple of new wrinkles?
Well, you know, he hit it right on the head. You got to fine-tune what you do. You can't change who you are this late in the season. You are who you are, you know what I mean? So. Mm-hmm. You want to just make sure you fine-tune your defense, make sure your half-court execution is crisp, and then in the end, you got to let your players play.
Yeah.
Because the players are going to win the game. You know, the coaching is going to happen in practice, and, you know, hopefully we can follow the game plan. But once again, you got to let the players play.
That's for sure. Now, are you totally healthy? We know the big guy got hurt, a couple of weeks ago. So are you healthy now? Is everybody healthy, that is?
We're decent. You know, we got a couple guys banged up, but you know, we're gonna go with what we got. You know, can't make any excuses. You know what I mean? You gotta roll what you got and play the hand that you dealt. And Trevor's doing okay. Jay's got some issue with his hand, Jalen Hayes, but you know, he's playing through it, and we're gonna go at it from there, huh?
Okay, and that's great. As you know, the Spartans are in the Big Ten tournament, and they'll play tomorrow afternoon at noon. They'll tee off probably against Iowa. Do you got the final score over there yet, Aaron?
Yeah. The final score ended up being Iowa 64, Illinois 61, so it looks like they're going to be playing Iowa tomorrow.
They'll be playing Iowa. That'll be a tough game for the Spartans, that's for sure. Hey, yeah. I wanted to mention to you, you know, some of the old days. I mean, we were talking, and some of the guys were talking about those Jenison Fieldhouse days. Do you have any good stories from your days of playing in Jenison Fieldhouse?
I got tons of stories. Which one you want?
Well, you give me a couple of them.
Yeah, you know, I probably, you know, one of my greatest memories of playing in Jenison Fieldhouse was, you know, playing against Michigan. And I think my sophomore year, we had Scott Skiles, and he got 40 against Michigan with no three-point line. And he was just pulling up from everywhere and beating guys to the basket. Him and Joubert was going at it. Back and forth, so you know that's one of the huge memories of playing in Jenison Fieldhouse. Just tons of games. You know, I had one game when I played in Jenison Fieldhouse, and I went 11-for-11. You know, that's a memory of mine. But I just remember the Tuesdays and Thursdays in the summertime, pick up basketball used to be crazy. I remember as a young kid, 18 years old, coming up from Washington, D.C., and we play pick-up basketball then. But the first time I walked up, I remember, so I just gotten there. I walked up to Jenison Fieldhouse, and I see Magic Johnson, Jay Vincent, Isaiah Thomas, Bill Lambert, all those guys were coming in there. And I'm like, you know, as a young player, those are your idols, and you're actually, like, on the same court playing against them. And I just remember almost wearing my pants, man, you know, being around those guys, man. And that's the kind of things that I remember about Jenison Fieldhouse and Spartan basketball was that, you know, the pros always came back in the summer, and we had great pickup games at Jenison Fieldhouse in the summertime, Earl.
Yes, you did, because I was there watching a lot of those. Yes, and that's the thing. I always remember the thing I remember the most is how that sound always bounced off the walls. I mean, you know, bounced going from wall to wall. It just bounced all over. It made the place incredibly loud, didn't it?
Oh man, you know, I used to love it when
It's definitely not the Breslin Center, but it has it had its own its own unique sound, own unique atmosphere. There was nothing like the 10,004 screaming and yelling when you have in a great game in Jenison Fieldhouse. I remember beating Indiana my senior year. We were struggling at the time. And it was like the crowd was the sixth, seventh, and eighth man. So, you know, and that was the year after they won the national title, because they had won in 87 and we beat them in 88. So that was one of the best memories of playing at the Jenison Fieldhouse.
Yes, I know people have asked me, you know, is Breslin as loud? I said, no, Breslin is not even close to being as loud as Jenison. I said, the way that sound was in there, everybody had a good seat. They were on top of each other, and the sound just bounced off. I said, it was just a great atmosphere to play basketball in, wasn't it?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, man. I tell you, you know, the Breslin Center has its own unique feel, but there was nothing like playing in the Jenison Fieldhouse, especially. Yeah, I'm trying to think. It was my junior year, and we played Michigan on ABC, and Dick Vitale was calling the game. It was a midday game, and the sun was coming through and shining on the floor, and the crowd was just amazing, and, man, just unbelievable times. You're making me go back there. I hadn't been back there in a while, you know?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I remember when we used to play pickup games upstairs. I even felt that I could jump because of, you know, how the springs and those boards were upstairs. It made everybody feel like they were a pogo stick.
How about that? Yeah, I know you were super fast and super quick, Earl. You used to blow by everybody. Now, you still got that speed like that?
No, those days are over. Hey, a question came in. He says he danced on the scorer's table after beating Indiana.
I sure did. Somebody's got a real good memory.
Yes.
I sure did. You know, I jumped up on the scorer's table and started dancing because, man, it had been a while before we had won a big game, man. I was so excited, man. It was like somebody lifted a 20-pound weight off my shoulder, man. And it was almost a natural thing to do. I just jumped up there and then just let it go, man.
Yeah, see, some of us out there still have those memories. Yes, it was just so many good times there in Jenison Fieldhouse. Was such a special place. Hey, now that you're coaching, and you know, we've talked about that from in years to years, how do you feel about coaching, especially now in high school basketball? I know we've talked about it in the past about going maybe further or doing something else, but how do you feel about coaching basketball, and how do you feel about this team, especially trying to win another state championship?
No, I think this team is, this team has it's a very cohesive unit. Those guys have known each other through football and basketball, and then just being friends since the seventh grade. You know, talking about Brent Forbes, Denzel Valentine, Anthony Clemens, and Jeff Kane. Those guys have been friends, man, forever, man. And, you know, that's part of the reason why they've had so much success. You know, along with working hard and being a good basketball team, them guys are friends off the court, man. They spend the night at each other's house, man. They're hanging out together. They argue like brothers. They fight like brothers. And they love each other like brothers. And you can kind of see that stuff on the court, man, with some of the unselfishness that goes on. You know, how that ball moves around the floor. We try to average like 15, 20 assists per game. So, you know, that's one reason why we had success. But, you know, I really enjoy coaching high school basketball. You know, I think, you know, everybody has their own calling, their own niche. And, you know, I like the player development, you know. Working with the younger kids. And, you know, that's my profession. I love seeing younger kids get better. A lot of people don't know that's my passion, because as a sixth grader, I got cut from my sixth grade team. And so I've always made it my passion to make sure that, you know, if I see a younger player that needs some help or needs some guidance and development, that I would help that younger player help gain confidence, because every kid's got it in them. Every single kid has got it in them. But, you know, it takes that special person to try to bring it out. And I think that's my niche right there. I think I can get the kids, I can get to that spot where I can help them gain confidence and gain, you know, a good self-image about themselves, you know, build that self-esteem. So that's my niche right there, Earl.
Okay. Now, do you have a camp where you work with the younger kids, like, say, seventh and eighth graders, as they're developing to get ready for high school? Or do you do something like that, or do you just help kids when they come into your school?
Oh, no, I do that every day. You know, I work, that's my job. I'm the basketball development coordinator at Michigan Athletic Club, and I work with kids one-on-one. I do anywhere from, 25 to 35 one-on-one sessions a week. And I work with kids in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade all the way down to 10-year-olds. And I've been doing that probably the last maybe 10 years or so. It's just a strong passion of mine, being able to help younger players get better, in addition to coaching at Sexton. So you can basically say I live in the gym, Earl. I live in the gym when I'm at work at the MAC, and then I leave the gym, and then I go to coach my kids at Sexton where, I try to spend quality time with them. I spend 3 to 4 hours a day with them, helping those guys grow and develop. So it's definitely a passion of mine, and I've been very lucky and blessed to have these opportunities to be able to coach and be a professional coach, if you want to call it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And how is it, the final question I want to ask you, how is it to coach your son, and actually both your sons, one is at Oakland now, one's coming into Michigan State. How has it been coaching your sons over these years?
It's been a great experience for me to be able to, help shape the lives of both my sons and for them to share the same passion at basketball. It's been tough at times, because I'm their father, and it's probably been tougher on them than it has been on me, because I feel like, I know what I'm talking about, and I'm not going to guide you or direct you in the wrong way. I think it's probably tougher on them because nobody likes the coach. They respect the coach, but nobody likes the coach because the coach is going to push you. I'm not going to pat you on the back all day. I'm going to point out your deficiencies, and I give you a little bit of honey and sugar at times, but most of the times you're trying to guide guys and direct guys, and it's hard to give critique and take criticism. So it's probably been tougher on both my boys. Drew was really, really receptive, and Denzel as well. It's really good when they can go off to college and then call you back and say, Dad, you were right. that was one of the biggest things, compliments I ever got was from my son Drew, after he graduated and went off to school, and he said, Dad, we're doing the same stuff we did in your practice. It's not any different. So I feel like, I knew what I was talking about, but it was up to them to be able to realize that in their own time, And one of the biggest things I had to do with coaching my kids was I had to make sure that we had a safe place. So once we left the gym, I don't talk about the game at home. I don't talk about it in the car. I don't talk about practice. Unless they ask me, I've made that my own personal rule to not talk about it. So when we go home, we have a safe place. And there's been times when I've had to kick Denzel out of practice or kick Drew out of a film session, and they had to get in the car with me. And I've had to promise myself not to say one thing about them. So it's been tough on them. But, overall, I wouldn't trade that experience for anything in the world, man. Not one iota.
Oh, sounds good, Carlton. Hey, before I let you go one more time, what's it going to take to beat Lansing Catholic tomorrow night?
Well, I just hope we can compete to the best of our ability. Make sure that we're going to execute in a half-court set. Make sure that we play good team defense, rebound the basketball, and then play Sexton basketball, man. We like to get out and run, but we can also slow it down and execute in a half-court set. We have three guards that are going to play Division I basketball. They know how to slow it down, set it up, and execute. I'm expecting to see zone tomorrow. I know I'm going to see zone. So, we got to make sure we're ready to attack a 2-3 zone. So, Dennis Wick is a tactician. He's a great coach, and we'll see what happens tomorrow. I think the team that wants it the most will come out victorious, and I think our guys are pretty hungry. We'll see.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Carlton. Definitely a pleasure talking, bringing back those memories and talking a little bit about Jenison Fieldhouse. Those were the good old days.
Those were the good old days, Earl. I miss them, man, but can't get them back.
Nope. Hey, thanks a lot, Carlton. I'll talk with you a little later on.
Okay, Earl. Take care, man. Okay. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Uh-huh. And for joining us. Bye-bye. And that's Carlton Valentine, the head coach of the Lansing Sexton Big Reds, defending state champions in Class B. Heading. Hopefully, they might be able to play for another title. They've got a heck of a game tomorrow night when they go up against Lansing Catholic Central. The time right now, 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Talk of the Nation gives you the day's news and more than that, the experiences and opinions of people around the country and around the world. I'm John Donvan. When you're looking for the latest news, but also how it affects you, your family, your neighbors, and your life, turn to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
The forecast is for a windy day and skies becoming partly sunny with a high of 51 degrees today. Tonight there's a chance of some snow, the overnight low 25. Tomorrow's high only 35, another windy day too, partly sunny Friday, and sunny with a high back up to 46 Saturday. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. But more importantly, we want you to spread the word around. Tell everyone you know that you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR East Lansing. Also want to say congratulations to my good friend Tim Stout. He's celebrating 19 years on the air at the radio station today. So, Tim, congratulations for 19 years. I was going to say something funny or maybe make a little comment, but I won't do that. I mean, because Tim is as old as me, so he calls himself the Dean. He should be called the Grandfather Dean, just straight Dean. But we'll call Tim the Dean of Sports here in the Mid-Michigan area. He knows a lot. He's been around a long time, almost as long as me. But maybe he's a little bit less. I know he'll make that an issue there. He's a little bit younger than me, not much younger. But just a little younger. But congratulations to Tim Stout on celebrating his 19th anniversary. You're listening to AM 870 WKAR. And, of course, many people watched Peyton Manning as he left Indianapolis yesterday. He had to be a little sad, a little bit disappointed after spending 14 years there. He had a great years. One of the best quarterbacks in the era. 14 years he spent in Indy, and he had to go. But that's football. You know, that's one of the things in football. You know, there's no sympathy. It's all basically dollars and cents. And Indianapolis just left him because he had a contract for $29 million. I knew, that they weren't going to pay him $29 million, especially since with all the injuries he's had. And I'm not sure, even if he was totally healthy, that they would have paid him that $29 million. But I guess we'll never know that because he's had the injuries. He's had three or four neck surgeries. And, if he hadn't had that, would they have paid him $29 million? I really don't know. They could have, but, we know how they are in the National Football League. They're always looking at the bottom line, so it would have been very, very tough. Well, let's go to the phones, and we've got a Pachu on the line. Pachu, how you doing?
How you doing, Earl?
Okay.
I'm doing good. Hey, I want to thank you for the interview, man. That was an incredible, sincere, humble, very, very common sense interview, man. That's a bad dude, man. He's a very good model for young men. Okay, so I want to thank you, man. I really, really appreciate that. That's a powerful image because we don't get that too much nowadays. We got these other things going, and I just want to say thank you, man. It was very, very good. I even learned a lot about how to coach, man. All right, Earl, you take care.
Okay, thank you, Apache. Appreciate it. Yeah, bye bye. Yeah, Apache, good man. Yes, Carlton, a good coach, good man as always, and we had a lot of fun. I mean, we played a lot. I played pickup games. I couldn't play on the team, a little bit too short, but we played a lot of pickup games over there in Jenison Fieldhouse back in the day. We had a lot of fun in there playing the basketball games. I guess I could tell you a few stories about playing with Carlton, playing with Magic, and Jay and those guys back in the day. We had a lot of fun playing pickup games. I remember a couple of times. I'll just tell this one story. I was playing a pickup game one day with Magic and some of the guys. And Magic, he always liked, no matter who he played with, he won. I mean, it'd be me and three other scrubs out there. And they'd win somehow. So this one day, we were winning. And we won about four or five games in a row. And Judd just looked at us and said, you guys, just get off the court. Just get off the court. And he said, you know, you can't play. Get off the court. So we all just sort of shuffled our feet and hung our heads and walked off the court. And, you know, he was sitting on the sideline. He was laughing at us. Judd was just cracking up at us as we didn't really want to leave the court. You know, when you win, you don't want to leave. And when you play pickup basketball, every time you win, you own the court. And since we had owned the court for at least four or five games, we really weren't ready to leave. But since he runs the field house and runs the whole basketball program, we didn't have much choice. We had to leave. But that was one of those things in basketball where we were having a lot of fun that day. And Carlton, I mean, I used to play over there, play pickup games. Now, Carlton, I always made sure he got the ball because he could shoot. Carlton was a great shooter at 6'5". He was a 6'5 center. And he had a great hook shot. He hardly ever missed. And so all I did was feed him the ball. You know, I just stood out the way, feed him the ball, and let him go to work. That was one of the things when you're playing pickup basketball that you do, especially if you got a really good player like him. Hey, I made sure he got the ball almost every time I got it. I passed it into him, so he can score all the points. I didn't want to score. I didn't even have to score. Like a lot of guys think they got to score if they're on a team or they've got to take shots and stuff. Nope, I might take a shot every now and then, but I was always more concerned with the big guys and keeping the big guys happy and let them do the scoring. And that was always fun to me, but that was always part of it. But the pickup games back then, I can tell you, we had a lot of fun playing pickup basketball back in Jennison Fieldhouse. Great days, that's for sure. And if for all of those out there that play pickup basketball, you know what I'm talking about. When you play, when you go out and you just love to run, and I love to run. I used to love running those games. They were a lot of fun back in the day. Aaron, have you played much pickup basketball? Do you get out there and run the court every now and then?
I haven't lately. It's been a while. Yeah, you know, I played basketball up till about my sophomore year in high school. I decided not to try out for the varsity team, but I used to love playing pickup basketball. It was always fun. It was always a good time because a lot of rules didn't apply.
Yes.
You know, refs weren't always there.
Yes.
You know, the gym classes I took in high school. Luckily, the gym teacher, who was also the football coach at the time, he allowed us, once we got our normal workouts in, he allowed us to play basketball because there was a lot of us that loved to do it. So we got a good workout out of it, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can say the same thing. A lot of fun for me. Actually, and I had a reputation. I had a reputation as a hack. So I better say that because if I don't, there'll be people calling and saying. But, yeah, I was known as a hack because, yeah, when you're a little fella, people always try to take you to the hole. They always try to drive, so I did whatever I had to do to stop them. Couldn't let them take me to the hole, so consequently, there are a lot of guys walking around with some marks on their arms and on their forearms because I used to hack them. I would always tell anybody, hey, you can shoot your jump shot all day, but if you try to take me to the hole, I'm going to take you out.
Yep.
I said, I'm a little fella, so if you're a big guy and you want to back me down low, which a lot of guys try to do, eventually, they stop backing me down low because they like their arms.
Yep. And they're much taller than you, so it's not. Yes. That's how you got to defend them.
Exactly. And most guys knew that. I mean, they knew that when I got picked for a team, they just said, uh-oh, yeah, he's on that team. So it's going to be some trouble down here today.
Yep.
But that's the way it goes. That's the way you have to play it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it was a lot of fun playing pickup basketball, that's for sure. Hey, we haven't had a chance to talk a lot about the NBA, but with that first game out of the way now, how do you see the rest of these games as far as these college games and the rest of these games in the Big Ten tournament that are coming up today?
We got Indiana and Penn State. You can pencil Indiana in probably most likely.
Yes.
I don't really give Penn State a chance on that one. We've got Northwestern and Minnesota
that's
later.
That's going to be a good one.
They're records. I mean, Northwestern's 18-12, and then Minnesota's 18-13. That's going to be a very good game. Then we got last one of the day is going to be Purdue versus Nebraska. I mean, I got Purdue in that one. Nebraska, yes. I don't really see how they can pull that one out. But, you know, Michigan State's got Iowa tomorrow, and then most likely it's going to be Wisconsin and Indiana, which Wisconsin and Indiana, that's going to be
that's going to be a good one, too.
Another great game. So, and then Michigan probably is going to play, I'm going to say Northwestern is going to pull it out. So that's going to be a great game. And then Ohio State and most likely Purdue. So just one good game after another.
Yes, they are. I mean, this could be as some of the prognosticators have been saying, this could be the best Big Ten tournament ever as far as from that they had in the Big Ten. I mean, we've really got eight really good schools, and then you got four, you know, basically also Rans.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, I can't remember the last time, you know, it's been like this before. So that assumption is probably right that this is probably one of the best ones in, maybe of all time. So, which is great. There's a lot of great games. That's what you want to see. You don't want to see one dominant team that, you know they might be a number one seed or something, then they don't really play, and then you know, there's no meaning behind the tournament. So there's a lot of meaning behind it. There's a lot of teams that want to win, which is great. A lot of great games. Great for TV. Great for ratings. Everyone's a winner all around.
Yes, especially the Big Ten, because they're going to be raking in the dough.
Yeah, that's for sure. And we all know how money is in the business, so...
That's sort of unfortunate because I've never really was a big fan of the Big Ten tournament, but I knew once they decided to do it that, you know, it's basically about the money and it's really not about competition or feeding, because they don't really need a tournament, because you have every year you're gonna have at least 6 to 7 teams you get into the conference tournament, and most of the other teams they're going to go, if they've got a winning record, the other teams will be in the NIT.
Right.
So, you know, like, so now we know Illinois will definitely be in the NIT. And maybe if Iowa loses to Michigan State tomorrow, then they'll be in the NIT. So it would be at least two. So that's the thing. Probably every team is going to be that doesn't make it to the big dance will be in the NIT out of the Big Ten.
Yep, exactly.
And you'll see that. Well, we got a lot of football news going on, and as far as with signings with Peyton Manning. What's your thoughts on Peyton Manning, you know, leaving Indy, which he had no choice, but, you know, he had to get out of Indy. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, you would love for him to finish his career there. I mean, it's a, you know, he loves it there. Well, he used to love it there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's sad to see that, but that's part of the business. Unfortunately, with his injury, they, you know, everyone knew they were going to let him go. They didn't want to pay the money to him. So, you know, it is what it is. He has to move on from it, and we'll see. I don't know what teams might be. I don't know if any team has shown interest in him at all. Has any team shown interest?
Yeah, Miami has showed interest also, and he's heard from Seattle, and he's heard from St. Louis. So he's had a few calls, and but Miami's, you know, that's one that he's really looking at, I hear, that Miami team. They say also he won't take long in a – you know, figuring out team, because he should get calls from 6 or 7 teams at least, if not more, because, you know, he's considered still one of the premier quarterbacks in the country, and he's been working very hard. He's been throwing good down there. I think he went at the Duke facility. He was working out there, so they said he's looked good. So a lot of teams are going to be interested in signing Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he's going to just forget how to throw a football.
Yes.
I mean, he's one of the best in the league. So, obviously, he's going to take some time to get back in the groove of things. I think Miami would be a good fit for him. They don't really have a solid quarterback down there. Plus, it's warm weather, so it helps maybe for his older age. I don't know. That's a possibility. You know, we'll have to see what happens.
Yep. Just reading on one. If Peyton Manning has questions about Miami, take his call. Dan Marino will be happy to take his call if they do. And I got a feeling he'll probably hear from Dan Marino about Miami, because they do need a quarterback. So that's one that he'll probably one program that's going to look at him very, very closely.
Yeah, Dan Marino, that would be a nice. I would accept any call from Dan Marino, so that makes sense that Dan would probably give him a call and give him some pointers and all that good stuff. So Miami's a good fit, I think. I see him going there. Just makes sense probably for him. I could see him in a Dolphins uniform, a Seattle uniform, just I just don't see it. So,
you know, they're also talking about he could be in Denver. They're talking about maybe giving Tim Tebow a little more seasoning. But I don't know how the fans down with Denver would like that since they already have anointed Tebow as the second coming of a great quarterback behind John Elway. So, but they say that they might give him a call.
Well, they'll give him a call, but I just don't see Manning committing to that just because I feel like Denver's already committed to Tebow. So, like you said, if they want to, put him back in the passenger seat, maybe give him some more learning. Obviously, learning from Peyton Manning would be a great, resource to learn from.
Yes.
But they've committed to him too much. But we've seen a lot of weird things in the NFL, so you never know.
Yes, and especially with all the things going on, of course, with the hits on and of course, New Orleans getting in trouble now, having paying the fees for an extra hit, and they're going to crack down on that. Thank goodness they're going to crack down on that. As much as I love defense and love defensive play, I like that rule that should be that because it should be taken out of the game. Those illegal hits or paying a bounty on players, there's no place for that. If you get a good hard hit, that's fine. That's part of the game. But it shouldn't be any extra. You shouldn't have to pay money, pay someone to put an extra lick on someone. So I'm glad they're cracking down on that. They're trying to make the game safer, which is good. I know a lot of people don't like that, but they're trying to make the game safer for everyone who plays and is part of it.
Yeah, you got to make it safer, and I'm glad they're doing it. Obviously, we all know there's been some questionable things, changes that they've made to the rules about safety, especially when it comes to the quarterback. But they got to make it safer because these people are just people are getting stronger and faster every single year. So with those changes, the NFL has to make changes to the rules. If they don't, people are just going to continually get hurt. We've seen it with Manning. Some people have questioned whether or not that was a bounty hit. So, I'm glad. Now, have they said what the punishment will be, or they're still
not
kind
yet?
Of, not yet.
They're still working on it. Yes.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what the punishment is, because we've seen in the past some things should have been maybe more, been punished more or less or whatever. So this will be interesting seeing how it's got money involved. That's a big key.
Yes, especially with New Orleans, they're going to get a big hit. I mean, the fines are expected to be around $1 million. Maybe their former defensive coordinator, who went, I believe he went to not to Buffalo, went to St. Louis. He may be suspended, may have to set out some games. He may get a big fine as well. But New Orleans is going to take a hit. That's no doubt about that. They're going to get a hit. They say that the commissioner is really steamed about that since it came to his attention. And, that's the thing. If it doesn't come to anybody's attention, probably wouldn't have, no one would have brought it up. But so many people know it, and they've known it, that it goes, it's been going on in the league for a long, long time.
Yep, it's been going on for a long time, and I'm glad the commissioner's not just bowing, saying, "Oh well, it's part of the game." I'm glad, we all know he's not afraid to say his piece, say his word, and make his own rules. So I'm glad that it's happening. It shouldn't happen. I'm in total agreement with you. I don't know of anyone that would accept this as a good thing. It's a good thing to see.
Yes, it is. Hey, want to thank everyone for calling today. Thank you all for listening to us right here on AM870. A pleasure talking with Jack Ebling today and talking with Coach Carlton Valentine of the Lansing Sexton Big Reds. We'll invite you to come back and join us tomorrow. Now, one of our guests tomorrow will be boxer Antonio Tarver. He'll be one of our guests right here on AM870. So join us tomorrow to talk and give Antonio a call if you want to talk a little boxing with Antonio Tarver. I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling. Invite you to come back and join us tomorrow on AM870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on AM870 WKAR. We want you to come back, join us tomorrow. Have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening. And I'll hear from you tomorrow on AM870 WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.